Welcome to Daily in the Word.
Striving Together Publications is committed to providing growing Christians and local churches with life-changing resources. For growing Christians, we strive to provide solid Christian books and music that encourages your heart and strengthens your faith. For local churches and spiritual leaders, we're providing sound, biblical Sunday school curriculum, outreach and discipleship materials, church brochures, sermon helps, and a growing list of other tools and resources. If you are a growing Christian or a leader in local church ministry, you simply must visit Striving Together Publications at strivingtogether.com.
Do you feel like you've lost your way on the journey of life? You know, life's journey is meant to be a close, intimate walk with God, trusting Him, following the signs of His Word, and knowing that He is in control. Next on Daily in the Word, we study how to enjoy the journey down Highway 1 with Pastor Paul Chappell. Highway 1, that's the title of our present series, Journeying Through Life with One Savior, One Lord, One God, the Lord Jesus Christ, following His will, discovering His plan for your life day by day. Welcome to another edition of Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. This radio program comes to you every Monday through Friday at this station at this time. We hope you'll join us. We also hope you'll visit us online at dailyintheword.org. Maybe refer a friend to subscribe to the Daily in the Word podcast through iTunes, or you can listen online at dailyintheword.org. In this series, we're taking a journey through God's Word with Pastor Paul Chappell. It's entitled Highway 1. We're discovering how to journey with God through life. And if you seem to have lost your way, if you often find yourself in a fog and needing direction, this series will help you find direction from the Word of God in the will of God. Today's text is Exodus chapter 35, verses 1 through 10, Road Construction Ahead. Here's Paul Chappell.
I love how that is stated in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 16. It says, "For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you." Notice this phrase now. "An odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God." The offering that the Philippian church sent to the Apostle Paul is described as being well-pleasing to God. And my friends, it's my prayer that next week what we do will be well-pleasing to God. And so there's the presentation of a need. It was commanded by the Lord. It was committed to the people. Moses was simply saying, folks, God has given us an opportunity to establish this place of worship. God has laid it before us. But let's notice secondly this morning the participation of the people. Again, they had a choice to make. And let's see historically and biblically the choice that they in fact did make. Notice if you would at verse 20. "And all the congregation of the children of Israel departed from the presence of Moses, and they came, every one whose heart stirred him up, and every one in whom whose spirit made willing, and they brought the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle of the congregation, and for all his service, and for the holy garments." Now, I want you to see a few things about these people, if you will, our forefathers in the faith, those who were following after the will of God in the Old Testament era. Notice, first of all, they were a stirred people. These people were stirred up about the work of God. Verse 21 says, "Their heart stirred him up." 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 7 speaks of this. It says, "Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver." Amy Carmichael said it so wonderfully many years ago. She said, "You can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving." And there was in the hearts of these people at this moment in their spiritual walk an appreciation for having been delivered from Egypt, a love for God. They were stirred up. And my friend, I want to encourage you, if you're not stirred up this morning about God, about the Lord Jesus Christ, about the local church, go back to the place where you were saved in your mind. Focus on the cross of Calvary. Remember what your life could be without Jesus Christ, and ask Him to stir you up once again. Ask Him to make you thankful once again for delivering you. They were stirred up. I was thinking this past week about two of the most wonderful Christians I've ever known, Brother Bob and Joyce Lane. Just a few months ago, we had first Brother Bob's funeral and then Joyce's funeral. And really, I like to call them homegoings because they were a wonderful opportunity to be reminded of the promises of Scripture. But I was thinking back on when I first met Bob and Joyce, and amazingly, we met them through the bus ministry. And we picked up their children on the buses. We talked about the buses last week. And as the children came, and then their son and daughter-in-law came, and soon Bob and Joyce came in to see what was going on. And you know, we were in the midst of developing our bus ministry at that time, and I remember when Brother Bob came up to me and just excited. He said, "Pastor, how much would it cost you to get a couple of those buses?" He said, "That's a great thing, those buses." And I told him how much it would be. And that night he came to church and gave me a check for some new buses. I remember when we were building that north building, how God moved on their hearts and how they became involved and sacrificially gave. And if you go back in the foyers of these buildings, you'll see the pews that have been purchased, and you'll see the names of Bob and Joyce Lane and hundreds of other people who got stirred up about reaching out into this community with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank God this morning that I pastor a church of people with warm and tender hearts who still get stirred up about the idea of doing the work of God and reaching others with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, you see, I believe it was Jim Elliot who said, "A man is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." And how we thank God today for those that were stirred up, even in the building of this building. Thank God for the two services this morning. Tonight we'll set up chairs once again, and we'll try to make room for everybody. It's time we got stirred up again and got thankful again that God has put us in this place. Notice secondly, though, in verse 21 of our chapter 35, it says, not only were they stirred up, but notice it says, "And everyone whom his spirit made willing." They were a willing people. These were people who trusted God. They were willing to do for God what they could. The Bible says that they were willing. Samuel Johnson said, the person who waits to do a great deal of good at once will never do anything. And they did what they could at that time with what God had provided for them. Notice what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 11. "Now therefore perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. For if there be first," notice this, "a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not." Now someone could say, "Well, you know, I understand they're building the tabernacle, but I'm just not of a mind for that." And others had the mind, obviously the majority in this passage, had the willing mind to say, "You know what? I want to have part in that. I want my children, my children's children to know that I had part in the establishment of the tabernacle of God." And I believe the same is true today, that all of us should have a spirit that says, "You know what? I want to have a part. I want to look back with no regrets. I want to be able to say that I had a part in furthering the kingdom work of God through the ministry of Lancaster Baptist Church." Now, what I've noticed is when it comes to this type of situation, some people will give to God like they're giving to the IRS, and some people give to God like they're placing an engagement finger on their fiancé's hand. Now, I don't know about you, giving to the IRS has never excited me greatly. It's something that most people in this tax season try to figure out, how can they give as little as possible to the IRS? But I've watched both of my sons these last few years as they've gotten engaged. And I think it was just a few months back, my son Matthew took me to a jewelry store, and he said, "Dad, I want you to go and check this out with me and see what you think." And we went over to Palmdale, went in the store there, and When I walked in, the lady said, "Hello, Pastor Chapel." And she said, I've enjoyed getting to know your son. And then she brought out two or three rings he was looking at. His palms were sweaty. He was excited talking about it. And they were telling him all about the clarity of the diamond. And they were telling him about the insurance policies and all the different things. And he was excited about getting that ring. I'm telling you what, when he got it, you thought it would burn a hole right in his pocket. I mean to tell you, he had that ring. He took it out all the time, looking at it. And he was going to get engaged. I forget when, maybe several months from now. But now that he had the ring, he had to give her that ring, you know. He was excited to give that ring. And I tell you, our family, we were standing around the corner watching as he gave the ring and peeking in on them. And he took that ring out. And he got down on one knee. Boy, when he put that on her finger, when Matt said to Katie, "Will you marry me?" He was so excited to give that to her. He couldn't wait. He wasn't thinking as he gave it to her, "You know, I spent X amount of money on this thing. I just can't believe that this is a part of the American tradition that you have to give this type of a gift in order to get a woman to be your wife. I mean, what's going on here?" He wasn't saying, "You know, I told her I love her. Why do I have to give her the ring? What's up with that?" Oh no, he could not wait to give her that ring. He could not wait to express his love for her. Hey, how's your spirit going to be coming into church next Sunday? Is the spirit going to be, "You know what, Lord, you've been good to me. And I can't wait to tell you how much I love you. I just can't wait. My heart's kind of stirred up about it." And I'll be honest with you, as your pastor, and I've tried to be in a leadership involved in this thing for years. I've tried to lead with example. And now, for the 23rd time, we have an opportunity to do this. And I got to be honest with you, this past week, I've been praying, I've been planning, I've been saving. But the past week, the Lord's been stirring me up about it again, getting me excited about the privilege of just saying, "Lord, I love you," helping me to think of ways to express my love to the Lord Jesus Christ. They were stirred up. They were willing to give to God. And then, of course, they were generous. The Bible says in verse 21, and it says there, they brought the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle of the congregation. And verse number 22 says, they came, both men and women, as many as were willing-hearted, and brought bracelets and earrings and rings and tablets, jewels of gold, every man that offered an offering of gold unto the Lord, and every man with whom was found blue, purple, scarlet, and fine linen, and goat's hair, and red skins of rams and badger skins, brought them. Every one that did offer an offering of silver and brass brought the Lord's offering, and every man with whom was found shittim wood for any work of the service brought it. In other words, everyone was getting involved in the work of the Lord. You know, a few days ago, I went out and I was making some visits. I made a visit, in fact, with Brother Rasmussen. We visited one of our dear members of our church, and they're a shut-in family, and in essence, physically. And they watch our services by way of the live stream, and thank God for that technology. And told them we're going to be upgrading that with some new cameras and so forth in just the next few weeks. And they were so glad to hear that. And we opened the Word of God and shared some time with them, and just spent some time in a time of visitation. We had prayer. We were getting up, getting ready to go. And as we were leaving, the man of the house, he said, "Pastor, just a moment." And he got tears in his eyes. And he said, I want to thank you for a few things. He said, "I want to thank you for our church. They haven't been able to be here in a few years." He said, "I want to thank you for the preaching that I hear every week over the internet." He said, "I want to thank you for that book you sent me in the mail." And he said, "That really helped me." He said, "By the way," he said, "I want you to take this. I'll put this in the offering next service." He said, here's my building gift. Here's my 12-month commitment. He said, "My wife and I, we want to have part." And folks, I want to tell you, here's some people that may not ever sit in one of those 1,000 new seats, but they believe in what God is doing here, and they willingly and from their heart wanted to have part in it. I think that was part of the reason God stirred me up a little bit last week. And God reminded me of the blessings we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the Bible says something I believe that couple understands. In Matthew 6:19, the Bible says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." You see the participation of the people. They were stirred. They were willing. They were generous. I want you to notice finally this morning, the product of willing hearts. You know, when people get willing and get involved, great things happen to the glory of God. Turn over in your Bible to chapter 36, and it may be on the same page there. And notice what happens, and let's just take a moment and read about this in verse number 1. Then wrought Bezaleel and Aholiab and every wise-hearted man in whom the Lord put wisdom and understanding to know how to work, all manner of work for the service of the sanctuary. Bezaleel and Aholiab, they'd know how to run this piece of equipment right here. I mean, they'd know how to get the pad ready, you know. They'd know how to bring the lumber together and how to fasten it together. They would know exactly what needed to be done. They couldn't do the work unless the people got excited and helped bring in the material. But now we get the names of the contractors. We get the names of the workers. And Moses, verse 2, called Bezaleel and Aholiab, and every wise-hearted man in whose heart the Lord had put wisdom, even every one whose heart stirred him up to come into the work to do it. And they received of Moses all the offering which the children of Israel had brought for the work of the sanctuary to make it withal. And they brought yet unto him free offerings every morning. And all the wise men that wrought all the work of the sanctuary came, every man from his work which they made. And they spake unto Moses, saying, the people bring much more than enough for the service of the work which the Lord commanded to make. And Moses gave a commandment, and they caused it to be proclaimed throughout the camp, saying, let neither man nor woman make any more work for the offering of the sanctuary. So the people were restrained from bringing. Verse 7 says, for the stuff they had was sufficient for all the work to make it, and too much. Now, how many of you would agree with me? That was a great offering. Amen. I mean, when the preacher has to say, folks, it's too much. You're giving way too much here. Let's just take a day off from giving. You know that God was working in some willing hearts. Well, let's see what happened as a result of those willing hearts. First of all, the workers were supplied. The workers were supplied. You know, the tabernacle was an elaborate tent construction with a fence outside and around it, making an outer courtyard. It was, of course, produced of shittim wood, much of which was covered and overlaid with gold. It was a beautiful, beautiful structure, a place where the presence of Almighty God would dwell in the midst of the people. And you see, in this passage, Exodus 36, because of the willing hearts, the work was supplied and the workers were supplied. And that's what the Bible says in Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply all of your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And I just want to remind you of something. What we're preaching about, what we're talking about this morning, the reason we're bringing the tractors in, it's not some vision of some kind of a grandiose idea that we think might look nice. Folks, we're talking about absolute needs at Lancaster Baptist Church. When we set up several hundred chairs often on Sunday nights or leave folks in the choir, when we have 300 children that need more nursery space, when we see the need for parking and driveways, these are not just fancy things we're doing just because. These are needs, and God says that He will supply our needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Notice not only the work was supplied, but notice secondly, the work was supported. The work was supported. In verse 5 of chapter 36, the Bible says this, and they spake unto Moses, saying, the people bring much more than enough for the work of the Lord. You know, that reminds me of what the Bible says in Ephesians 3 and verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. And I thank God that we have a God who can do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. I've seen over the years our children get involved, our teenagers get involved, our senior saints, our young couples, everyone as a part supporting the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then notice, if you would, finally, the worship was started. You know, that's where it all began, worship from their heart, and that's where it was going to end as well. Notice what the Bible says there. In Exodus chapter 40 and verse number 1, the Bible says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, on the first day of the first month shalt thou set up the tabernacle of the tent of the congregation. Verse 33 says, so Moses finished the work, then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Now, folks, listen to that phrase, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Now listen very carefully. I want you to have my heart on this matter. More than I'm excited about more parking or a building, more than I'm excited about those types of things, my great desire is to see the glory of the Lord fill His house. to see God glorified, to see souls saved, to see the work of God going forward. And I think about that tabernacle, and you picture in your mind, if you will, just think about the tremendous fire by night and the cloud by day that was with the children of Israel. Think about the manifestation of this mystical cloud of power and honor, symbolizing the fact that God's presence was now with them, and that they had a place as a congregation where they might celebrate His presence, where they might seek His atonement, and where they might know of His redemption. And my friend, we have that in Jesus Christ, and we can be thankful today that He has provided a way of salvation for us. And yes, there's some road construction ahead. We've got some road construction just around the corner that's going to take place, and on this campus that's going to take place. But we pray that in and through it all, Christ is glorified and His glory is known. I want to close this morning with an exciting thought from the book of the Revelation. And I want you to see this in Revelation chapter 21 and verse 2. I want you to see that our tabernacle truly is the Lord Jesus Christ. That Jesus Christ came and dwelt among us, and that He will come and tabernacle with us again. Notice in Revelation 21 and verse 2. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, what's the next phrase say? The tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God. Now, my friend, we thank God that one day the Lord Jesus Christ will come, and the tabernacle of God, the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, will be with us. And as we give and as we serve and as we're faithful during this time, may we remember that Jesus is coming again, and that we're giving with that thought in mind, and we're serving with that thought in mind, that Jesus Christ is coming again. And if you're not ready for that coming, if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, I want to remind you of this simple fact this morning, that Jesus Christ came and He shed His blood on an old rugged cross in order that your sins might be forgiven. Now, in the tabernacle, there was a place called the Holy of Holies. And in that Holy of Holies, there was a place known as the Ark of the Covenant. On the top of the Ark of the Covenant, there was the mercy seat. And it was there one time a year that Aaron, the high priest, would go in, and he would sprinkle blood on the mercy seat. And he would pray the prayer of atonement for the sins of the congregation. Well, we learn in the New Testament that Jesus Christ is our tabernacle, and that Jesus Christ is our mercy seat, and that He Himself shed His blood to be the propitiation for our sin. And it's because of the shedding of the blood that our sins are forgiven. That's what we've been delivered from. We've been delivered from the penalty of our sin, from eternity in hell. We've been given a home in heaven because of the wonderful grace of Jesus Christ. And we've got to keep that in our mind and in our heart as we approach next Sunday. And if you have never received Christ as your Savior, then remember this. He loves you. He shed His blood for you. And He's coming again. And you and I need to be careful to know while we're here on this earth that we have received Christ as our Savior, so that we'll not be left behind when the tabernacle of God comes, but that we'll join Him and spend all of our eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray together, shall we? Our Father in heaven, we thank You this morning that on the journey of the Christian life, we have the privilege of being a part of spiritual construction, building the kingdom of God, working to do the work that You've called us to do. And Lord, we've seen this morning how some people with willing and stirred up hearts got involved in the tabernacle project. And Lord, all these years later, we're reminded of their faith and their sacrifice. And I pray, Lord, that You would stir up our hearts. I pray that You would help us to be willing people. Help us to be loving and giving people, Lord.
Well, you've been listening to Daily in the Word. In today's edition, Dr. Chapel has been taking us through a series entitled Highway 1, Learning How to Journey Through Life with God and for God. Friend, the beginning of Highway 1 is really that decision to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. Have you made that decision? Do you know that He is in your heart and life? If not, then we would encourage you in the privacy of your own heart to pray a prayer of faith, believing, asking Jesus Christ to come into your life, to save you, to give you His gift of eternal life, and to take you to heaven. but more than that, to be your Savior today, your one and only Savior, to walk with life through, to trust in, to rely upon, and to seek a relationship with Him. If you have more questions about that, we would love to talk with you. I'll give you our toll-free number in just a moment, and we'd love to help you understand what it means to have Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Before we close our program, I do want to invite you to visit us at dailyintheword.org. On the website, you'll find a daily link to Pastor Chappell's devotional. You can also subscribe to that devotional and receive it in your email box every day, free of charge. It will take you through the Bible in 1 year. You'll also find the Daily in the Word podcast, also available as a free subscription. You can download this program and take it with you and listen to it on your phone or iPod or computer at your convenience. Maybe there's a friend that you know that could benefit from Daily in the Word. Shoot them an email and send them a link to dailyintheword.org. On the website, be sure to take a look at Dr. Chappell's newest book, The Burden Bearer. This is a hardback book, 184 pages, and it's an allegory that helps you understand the burden-bearer relationship that Jesus Christ wants to have with you. Who is carrying your load through life? Are you trying to carry your load for Him, or are you allowing Him to carry the load and do His work through you? The burden-bearer will encourage and help you understand this relationship in a wonderful, fresh way. It's The Burden-Bearer. You can find out more about it at dailyintheword.org. Get a hold of us. We'd love to hear from you. Our toll-free number is 1-800-201-7748. Once again, 1-800-201-7748. Thanks so much for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word. And until next time, have a great day.